pharma reps meet with doctors. It's a handshake job. But COVID-19 changed everything. I'm Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting. I'm joined today by Brian Roman, Executive Vice President of Creative Technology, and Stefan Saba, Senior Vice President of Customer Experience here at Syneos Health. We'll be talking about how pharma reps went virtual during COVID-19. Virtual pharma reps next on the Syneos Health Podcast. Stefan Saba, Brian Roman, welcome to the Syneos Health Podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
So we're talking about how it's like to work with COVID, and in particular, when we had field forces going out there, or we needed to message to physicians or to anyone, it used to be in person. And with COVID, that went away, or at least went way down. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge, huge problem for us, for our clients. It was actually, I think it might have been a year ago this time, we really started to brainstorm, at least on the technology side. How do we actually enable our reps to use these presentations, to use these details, so to speak, virtual details that our clients have paid and invested a lot of money in? Just through some problem solving, we found some interesting technologies to leverage, but it basically all resulted in everything being remote, assuming that if anyone did meet in person, especially a sales rep to say an HCP, that it's got to be socially distant. How do you use these iPads that are tiny screens and meant to be shoulder to shoulder? So what technologies could we do, or what methods could we put in place to replicate the previous detail experience? And what ended up happening, I mean, if we fast forward to the end, like where we are now, it's been a real paradigm shift in how reps communicate with HCPs and how doctors and nurses really want to meet with salespeople. I think it's a lot less in person. I think it's a lot more virtual. What we've noticed is that conversations have gone up with regards to length and time. Seems like doctors are a lot more copacetic towards meeting virtually or just meeting over the phone. And so for us then, as advertisers, marketers, to me, it's like, what can we still produce that's going to be effective, that's digital, that's something that we can sell for our clients that's going to make a more effective detail? So that's kind of where we started about a year ago today and came up with some interesting technologies to solve that.
And I think to build on that, you know, when it first hit, I think one of the interesting perspectives, and we've kind of looked at this on a quarterly basis, is what's the role of the sales force? And HCPs were inundated with information and the volume of content was growing exponentially. They were trying to figure out how to handle COVID, what's coming, what's behind the science of it, and what's the role of the rep in this situation. And what we found was the context of the content they were delivering was more critical than the number of times they were delivering it. And so what we started to realize was HCPs still needed the information. They still were looking for the information, but it was on their terms, and the context of the content became important versus the volume of content for them. We've looked at that over every 3 month cycles. We've looked at the volume of rep engagements, the type of engagements they're having, and the channels they're engaging through. And we're finding it started to level off in terms of frequency and the amount of time.
Just dial back, if you will, with me to the first quarter of 2020. So COVID starts. COVID denialism starts. And then COVID stay at home really starts in March.
Yep.
I was actually supporting two launches during COVID. And one of those launches was started in March. And immediately the sales force got pulled. And it was a question of whether or not it was going to be pulled for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks. Like, really, how long could this be? I like to think that I was conservative and told them it could be really into July, and it was much longer. But launching into COVID, when you can't meet with physicians, what was that like for other clients? Was our experience typical, where it was a little bit of an, oh my gosh, everything's changing moment, or did others roll with it more? What did you see as you supported other clients?
Really, I think June is when the shock went away, and people started to realize that we're in this for the long haul. It's funny, I remember talking just in our leadership team, thinking about September of last year is when we'll reopen the office. And it's just like, it's been pretty crazy since then. But yeah, so I think June is when people started to realize, okay, we're going to need a long-term solution, or at least a medium-term solution. So yeah, it was a huge shift. Many meetings, a lot of brainstorming, a lot of, I wouldn't say they were pitches, but a lot of conversations with even new potential clients about how can we enable the field force, and how can we do things from a purely virtual perspective That's kind of the genesis of our RepConnect product. What it allows us to do is it allows us to take these iPad details, the e-details, so to speak, that reps would have, and be able to broadcast or beam live content over to an HCP's phone. So they could actually just make phone calls to an HCP versus having to schedule something over, say, like Zoom or any of the Veeva products or things like that. That was impactful. And then right around this time last year as well was a real big push just to think about what can we do from a non-personal perspective. How do we enhance our websites to be resource libraries, to be more resource intensive? How do we strengthen our email campaigns to make sure that we're getting to the right people while at the same not spamming them to death? There's a lot of what ifs. And I think honestly, it's really just about until now, or at least until about Q4 of last year, where we started to see some results or started to get some direction with regards to like, are we doing the right things?
I agree. And I think for a lot of our clients, they were looking at it as a people, process, technology type discussion. And so there was that 30 to 60 day pause period where nobody knew what was going to happen. But then, as Brian indicated, it looked like it was going to definitely be more long term. So they started figuring out, well, what do we do with our reps? How many do we need? We were even asked by some clients, if we furlough our reps, is there an OCX or an omni-channel type model that can help us augment that sales force and still deliver? And so the neat thing, and I think even HCPs got comfortable with this as they started looking at technology, telehealth got pulled forward. And as their comfort level in telehealth with calls with patients increased, I think their comfort level to allow platforms or reps, whether it's Veeva Engage or other products, to allow reps to engage with them from that standpoint too.
What did we learn besides the technical details? We know how to get off double mute on Zoom and those kind of issues. What is it that we learned about detailing that was different virtually from just being detail on Zoom?
From my perspective, and this is less from a digital strategist and more from just thinking about how we go about building stuff, what our clients are wanting, it's a lot more about get to the point. I think when you're virtual, you can eliminate a lot of the fluff and you can eliminate a lot of the ramping up to whatever the conversation or the point is. We found is that, yeah, everything that we've been producing content-wise is very direct, meaning we're communicating more directly. And I think definitely the way we're laying out our programs, whether it's email or website or app, whatever it might be, everything is about on-demand. Everything is about directness for HCPs, whoever our target audience is, to be able to get access to that information as quickly as possible. I think that what COVID's done is it's kind of stripped away any of the last remnants of the print era, and anybody that was still hanging on, or anybody that actually, I think, let's say, didn't really have the technical ability or capability, especially say on the client side, the people that actually are paying the bills, so to speak. I think everybody was forced into this world. And it's not just, are you on mute or aren't you on mute? I think it's been a huge paradigm shift in the way that we act as business people in this modern age, where everybody has now elevated themselves to the level of technical knowledge and ability that we can now start doing some really impressive things. And I'm really actually looking forward to seeing what kind of opportunities are going to come at us in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months. Because I think previously where people and clients were, prospective clients were hesitant to pull the trigger or to pay for something that is, say, innovative or highly technical, or maybe dealt with a platform that they weren't familiar with, I think everybody now sees the value in digital. They understand how it kind of moves and morphs, and it's something that you just need to adapt to. I think a lot of that fear has gone away. So if any one good thing has come out of COVID, it's that everybody's skill levels have gone up exponentially, in my opinion.
And better internet connections.
Yeah. Yep.
Another interesting aspect, and we've seen this through our platform, the data we're getting is also showing us that physicians are more in tune if the content is relatable and relevant to their ask. And what we're seeing is the length of their engagement seems to be longer, and the amount of time that they're dedicating seems to be a little bit more focused. I think there's less interruptions. And you talk about non-personal tactics, they need to be in the moment when the audience is willing to receive it. And so if there's a physician in their home office or in their office at their work, they're less distracted and they're more focused on the content so they can get there quicker and have a more robust conversation. It's an interesting spin in that you would think it'd be the opposite, right? You would think that they would be less attentive or less informed about the content they're seeking. I think it was hyper in terms of what they were looking for in that situation. It was pretty neat.
You've mentioned a couple of times that there's longer engagement during digital. How much of a difference are we talking about? If you've not been on a detail, not been on a sales call or a ride along, and if you haven't carried the bag, how long is a typical in-person detail? And then what happens now with virtual?
So we did have some data out of our platforms, and I think the average in-person detail was under 2 minutes in terms of actual face-to-face contact. And this is an average, right? I'm sure there's some on other ends of the extreme, but I think the data we had was somewhere around 2 minutes. And I think through our platform tool, where it was more one-to-one personalized, and that again is the technology Brian had mentioned, where they're beaming the content from one iPad device to another or from an iPad to a desktop. Those were then starting to peak over 5 to 7 minutes per engagement. So you're seeing it extend extremely long. And that was still the rep or the sales rep's ability to navigate and guide through a virtual sales aid and let the other audience on the other end interact with charts, interact with tables, things of that nature, pause. So the interactivity is still there. And we started seeing that longer duration.
And the 2 minutes you said was with some kind of filler. So even then it was just tiny.
Yeah.
It makes me think, are different reps now the best reps that were not the best reps before and vice versa?
I think what it's done is it's definitely elevated the people that are wanting to adapt or adopt new technologies. It's kind of seems like the obvious answer, right? It's like, well, paradigm shift. And the only way to get in touch with people is to do it virtually. So if you're already kind of inclined to be the person that gets the newest Android or iPhone, or you kind of get the technology or you get the gadgets, so to speak, I think it's a lot easier to adapt to that. However, we have seen just about everybody adapting to the idea of Teams, to the idea of this is work from home, remote world. So I don't know. I think it's left to be determined because it's going to go back to the physical space. It's not always going to be virtual. I think virtual is going to be a big part of it because we found that there's value in it, that HCPs like it. I think a lot of people are still going to be working from home. And I think it's a lot more accepted and accessible, really, as a medium, where I think before the idea of being remote was kind of weird, or it was for special cases or somebody that lived way far away. Whereas now, I don't know, it's going to be this hybrid. So who knows, maybe people that are great in person and you point them in that direction, and you have people that are great virtually and they specialize in maybe tackling those kind of initiatives or that target audience.
Well, as we're recording this, the nation is opening up, masks are coming off, people are getting back to work. Is that true of sales reps? Are they getting back in? And then where do we see the future going? I know that you mentioned some technological innovations that you're seeing coming down the pike.
Yeah, we're seeing that merge of the virtual and the personal. Like Sava and I were saying, it's basically a technology that we developed in-house that leverages us to effectively take these digital presentations that the reps have and broadcast them or quote, beam them to an HCP's personal device, whether it's a phone or an iPad. And what's nice is there's no need to download software. You don't need a plugin. And it's all web-based technology, which means you can still scroll around. You can pinch zoom. Everything's formatted nicely for the phone. So really what we did was we ended up creating this nice accessible means of presenting data and details either in person or virtually. And if it's in person, you can do it socially distanced. You hold up a QR code, scan it, and that's it. And then you're into the presentation. But what we've noticed now is reps are maintaining that length of a detail, and they're doing it to actually multiple doctors in person. So everybody will be sitting at like a long bench or a round table. The HCPs are spread far apart. And the rep is actually able to sit there without having a big TV screen or projecting anything. And just from their iPad, broadcast that stuff to the HCP's phones and say, okay, hey, here's a table of contents. What topics are you interested in hearing about? And then you can field all of that stuff live to multiple people at once. Everybody feels comfortable. And I think when people are comfortable, they're just going to pay more attention. They're not worrying about their surroundings. They're not worrying about, is this person too close to me or not? So to get to your question, I think it's already happening. People are going back into the field and they're leveraging those technologies that they learned to use during COVID when everything was totally remote. And they're saying, oh, hey, there's opportunity to use that now in the physical world to either bridge some gaps or maybe speed up the way you present something or just do something in a medium that people are now comfortable with. So I think that's a good example of that hybrid approach already happening.
And I think we're going to see a more efficient sales rep in the future. I think we're going to leverage their role a little bit differently. I think technology will play a critical piece in allowing them to be more efficient and more effective. I think it also depends on the therapeutic class or where the product is whether it's a launch or more mature product in terms of where it stands in the market as well. So things like a medical device or surgical or hospital products, those were some of the first reps that were back in the scenario there and seeing physicians and the settings they were in. I think we've talked with some of our oncology clients that have immune compromised patients, and they were probably later in terms of when reps were starting to get in and back into the office setting. So again, back to the product or the therapeutic class may also dictate the speed at which adoption into this hybrid model of virtual and in-person will take hold.
We saw with multiple clients that quarter two of 2020 was terrible for sales. Sales went down. And then quarter three was fantastic for sales. And quarter four was similarly fantastic for 2020. When we pulled sales forces, things didn't go so well. And then when we came back with virtual, things went extremely well. Do you think that as we've gone through them, we've gone through 2020 and we're going to the future, that we're just better at detailing? Were we better off from an ability to message to physicians and to drive sales from a commercial perspective now than we were 18 months ago?
100%. I think if you look back, Jeff, to like any, you know, not like extreme moment, but moment of pressure, like you have to present or you have to deliver something, or maybe back when you're a kid, it was like sports or school, whatever it might have been. I think whenever you're under pressure, that survival instinct kicks in and some part of your brain just opens up and ideas all of a sudden become present where they once were not there. And I think what happened is everybody experienced that all at once. Like everybody went into survival mode. What the heck is happening here? And how do I keep my job? How do I keep the business running? What do I do to survive? And I think just through that improvisation, like everybody in this country was doing, I think by doing that, it just opened up all these doors for opportunity. People started thinking differently and approaching these problems and problem solving in a mass scale. So when I think about the effectiveness of CRM, email campaigns, the effectiveness and the quality of web content going up, I think about the way that virtual details have really evolved into something that's useful now, that's actually preferred over physical, and also how reps evolved as well, because their job is very much an in-person, personal thing. And mine is too, and Sava's. We all kind of had to learn how to joke with our clients or build camaraderie or deal with difficult situations when problems arise all over Microsoft Teams and Zoom. I think the fact that everybody is working in overdrive to solve problems that actually problems that could potentially impact their jobs or their careers or their lives, that's when you start to see real efficiency, because that's the lizard brain, the part of your brain that opens up when you're in those scenarios. That's why I think we've seen improvements everywhere. That's why I think Q3 and Q4, it was like, we need to survive. Let's all do it together. And by doing that, we innovated, we progressed, we adopted a lot of new technologies, we created new processes, and in doing so, created new methods of communication, new methods of revenue, new businesses were formed. Bit of a milestone year.
Stefan, looking back, how do you see the last year?
I kind of agree with Brian. I think it's been a milestone year in that everybody paused initially and then figured out, okay, how are we going to adapt and how are we going to survive? And that adaptability really opened up the door for technology to become vital in how we function, how we operate. And if you think about the audience or the audiences we serve, whether it's HCP or patients and our clients, the information funnel has played a part in that too. And I think that's made reps more effective. And you think of in an omni-channel world, browsing, seeking information, searching, all that was sort of in place digitally. But as then they moved across that information funnel to, I'm trying to answer a specific question or get deeper on research or look for data, we had various platforms, tactics, strategies in place to accomplish those goals. And then ultimately, I have a specific question or I'm trying to solve a specific question or find an answer. That's when the rep or the sales rep became integral as well in the solution. And so you saw this broad funnel get very hyper-targeted in terms of what their intent was and where we could help from a technology standpoint deliver.
This seems like it's a good place for us to put a close. I do have one final question, though, because it's the sort of thing that interests me when we've done a lot of things well. What did you think was going to work virtually and really didn't? What did sales forces try and just didn't fly during COVID?
One thing comes to mind, Brian, I'm curious your thought on this. You know, all the conferences went virtual And we reacted in terms of how we can help clients with virtual conferences and still maintain excitement and interest in kind of a virtual booth. But the reps played such a critical role as part of those conferences, right? In terms of face-to-face time and meeting with various physicians or KOLs, things of that nature, key opinion leaders. And I think we were a little bit interested in how that would happen. And I think the reality that we saw was, you know, physicians chose when to interact on virtual conferences and didn't have to travel for those. So they could participate in certain parts and not be there for the whole day. And I think that really augmented the role of the rep. And I thought they would play a more critical role. And it turned out, in our opinion, that they really didn't. And it was really just the virtual aspect of the show or the conference versus the ability for the reps.
Yeah. I think they're still figuring that out. That's a really good point. I agree. The virtual conference stuff was really hit or miss. The idea that you can just take a booth or something that used to wow people and draw them in and just put it on a computer screen and make it 3D and spin it around. I don't know. You really have to provide value. I think those scenarios do work in certain instances, but I think a lot of people were just kind of leaning on that stuff as a crutch, where the reality is that the HCPs just want information. So I think when they go to these websites, they just want to get, I want to hear an interesting conversation, or I want to download some valuable data that's going to help me in my job. And if there's going to be any sort of experience attached to it, it requires a lot of thought around how do you actually build out that experience to make it worthwhile. A good example is actually Fast Company, the publication they did their innovation festival virtually, I think around the end of summer last year. And I thought it was one of the better virtual conferences I've seen. And all they did, it was really just video. And they had some cool MCs and people hosting it. And they had some comedians and they did skits and all this interstitial stuff that just kind of kept you engaged with fun video content. On the side, you had some chat where people could communicate and network. And then there was just a ton of links to resources and other keynotes. And I think keeping it that simple keeps it streamlined and it keeps the value squarely in the audience's realm. And I think maybe that's where we overstepped a little bit. We're still trying to figure out on the virtual side of things, how do we best build out a platform that allows us to market ourselves and capture our audience's attention. I think where there's been success, it's really about the utility and the value. How do we get information and data to doctors as quickly as possible?
And I think, Jeff, to flip the question a little bit and say, what is one area that I thought would perform well, but I was surprised and it performed better than I thought? I think data was really critical, and especially with all the digital technology pieces that came into play, we knew data would continue to be important, but from two aspects, our ability to understand data on which HCPs to target, who they are, and how to deliver one-to-one personalized relevant tactics or content to them was one area. And then performance metrics. We saw a really deeper dive and better content out of the metrics, and that metrics and the reporting structures were able to then turn those results into actionable next steps or next best action in what we would deliver. And so I think we were confident we would get really good data, but I was a bit surprised at how well we could use that data to then translate that into another tactic or another piece of information.
Throughout all of this, it seems like the thing that worked best virtually was reality. So thanks so much for bringing that to our attention. And Stefan Saba, Brian Roman, thanks so much for joining us on the Syneos Health Podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having us. Our pleasure.
That's all for today's episode of the Syneos Health Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting. If you want to talk through a hard decision you're making at your life sciences company, you may email me at podcast@syneoshealth.com. For access to more future-focused, actionable life sciences insights, visit the Syneos Health Insights Hub at insightshub.health. Syneos Health, shortening the distance from lab to life.